So as I shared with the children, we don't have to. Really, we can keep going with our series because it's so related to the resurrection, and I find that to be true almost wherever we are studying. And you know, you'll find if you've been with us long that that's kind of what we do on Easter. We try to go in. We regularly. And as David mentioned, we have a series, if you're not familiar with it, called Firm Foundations, where we study chronologically through the Bible. We start with Genesis and go through to the Gospels. And that's the way to study the resurrection. That really is, within the context of the rest of the Bible. If when you take it out and you just look at it by itself, it just does not carry the weight with the buildup, starting particularly with Genesis 3:15 and running straight through the Old Testament all the way up through the Gospels, and then with the rest of the New Testament, looking back to the resurrection, to the cross and the resurrection. So, the things that we're in a series called Sharing the Gospel and Your Life as Well. And if you are not actively experiencing the resurrection, then there really is no life to share. And so we'll delve into the practical side of that a little bit today. First, we'll do a quick review. And in this series, one thing that has stood out to us that has over and over is that God is on a mission. And He has revealed that mission as we just met all the way through the Old Testament. He reveals that mission that He is out to reconcile man to God. Do you realize God is on that mission. And we, as His people, if we really are His people, if we are redeemed, purchased by His blood, if we put our trust in Him, then we too are to be on that mission. And those are words, I can just say them, and you can sit there and you can nod your head in agreement. But I'll tell you something, there is a core life change and purpose change that takes place to really be on mission. And you'll find that if you are following Jesus, He is continuing to constantly have you adjust your steps to be in the center of His will and to be on mission for Him. And so, and we looked at this, most of the promises are God that we like to claim. These promises are meant within the context of a mission. Answered prayer. I'm not saying that if you're not just imperfectly step on mission that God never answers prayer, but it was intended, and the way the promise is given is within the context of a mission. If you read particularly through John chapters 13, 14, 15, 16, then you see that clearly. Intimacy with God, walking with Him, fellowship with Him, abiding in Him, all of those things, those promises, are said within the context of mission. And so, while we want to have peace, and we want to have joy, sometimes we want to have those things on our own terms, apart from being really surrendered, dead to self, and on His mission. And it just doesn't work. You got to get this entire package. And that's one of the ways we've been looking at this, of sharing your life, sharing the gospel and your life as well. And so, I'm going to quickly go through this. I didn't put them in your outline again. They've been in your outline every week, the principles of gospel sharing, but it's a quick review. So, stay with me during the review. These are good things to remember. You'll be able to call these things to your mind. Teaching and sharing the core truths of the Bible. That is primary to sharing the gospel. Sharing your life as well. This is the way that Jesus shared the gospel. This is the way the early apostles shared the gospel. The way Paul shared the gospel. Developing partners and co-laborers. And we're going to learn what it looks like. What we're going to try to do is get a gradual picture. What does it look like to share the gospel and your life as well? What does it look like to make disciples? That is the call on your life. It's the call on your life, is to make disciples. So what does that look like in your life to do that? And that's not something we can get in one Sunday morning. There's going to be a gradual, in a sense, if I can use this term loosely, a gradual revelation where you will see, if you're following and tracking with us, and if you're obeying as we go through the steps, you will gradually see more clearly what it means in your life and what it looks like for you to make disciples. You have room to grow in this. Do you accept that? Or you have room to grow in this. I have room to grow in this. So let's do it. Let's respond and obey as God reveals these things. So part of that is going to be developing partners and co-laborers. We're going to get to that. Praying as if others depended completely on this one. This is what we studied last week. Praying as if all these other things depended completely on you praying for individuals. Remember we talked about this, how what the Holy Spirit does in a believer's life, what the Holy Spirit does in a non-believer's life. You see, in a non-believer's life, it's the Holy Spirit that has to soften the heart. Nobody's going to hear without the Holy Spirit softening and preparing them and calling them, doing a work in their life and changing their heart. God does that. He changes people's hearts. He changes people's minds. He changes people's lives. And so, if we are on mission, we are on mission, we are tracking with God, we're in step with the Holy Spirit, and we're praying for individuals, we're praying in line with the Holy Spirit. Do you think that prayer is going to be answered? When we're praying like that, those are prayers that God answers. So, we will pray as if everything else depended on us praying. And then we respond to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. Now, that's not crazy stuff. That's not, oh, I'm driving down the road. Oh, there was a red door. Should I knock on that? Oh, no. I just want to tell you about Jesus. Those are not the kind of promptings I'm talking about. I'm talking about God putting somebody on your heart. You pray for them. The more you pray for them, you pray with passion for them. You have a growing love for them, no matter their disposition or if they're somebody that you have something in common with or not. You have a growing love for them. You have a desire for a relationship, to get to know them more. You begin to share the gospel. That is responding to the Holy Spirit. It's praying just throughout the day. God, give me the words for this person. Is this someone you're calling? God, how can they move from not being interested at all to being somewhat interested? Is there a word that you have for them from me? Is there some way I can serve them? So you see, we're praying and we're responding as the Holy Spirit leads. And number 6 is solitude and intimacy with God. If you're looking on your outline, it's not there this week. It's been there every other week. You can get an old outline, I guess. Intimacy and solitude with God. This is absolutely foundational to sharing the gospel. That your relationships are flowing out of time with God. That you are seeking Him. And the more that you are out there on mission for God, really on mission, the more need you will feel for this one. Solitude and intimacy with God. The more that you take steps of obedience, the more you will want to run to God. So this is absolutely necessary. That's a principle. So those are the 6 principles that have kind of, those things have kind of flowed out of the teaching that we've done. So, and we looked at understanding where people are. You know, where are you? Where are the people you're dealing with, you know? Is it someone that's absolutely not interested? Well then, maybe there's something. Service. Your love towards them. Prayer for them. Something of seeing Jesus in you. Some topic. Maybe they're hurting. You can help. To see someone move from not interested to somewhat interested. To move to being a seeker. And then to being a convert. To being a disciple and to being a leader. Now I love that definition that we came up with. Leader is to show the way by going first. How you lead in disciple making. You go first and you make disciples. That's how you lead in disciple making. Challenging things. They really are. So, we are trying to move slowly through this. When we identify something on these patterns, we're looking at patterns in the life of a person that makes disciples. And so, if you want to be a person that makes disciples, and if you are a believer, please, take your temperature here. If you don't have a desire to make disciples, then you're sick. I don't mean crazy sick. You're sick. There's something going on with you or not going on with you and your relationship with God. When you have intimacy with Christ, He has a love for the lost. He has a love for the body. If you do not experience that, if you don't have that desire, then you need to check your temperature, your spiritual temperature, and get right. Do some repenting, some seeking of God, get in the Word, make sure you're a believer even. Just because you call yourself a believer doesn't mean that you are. If you really put your trust in the substitutional death of Christ and experience resurrection life. So those are some of the things we got into last week and the previous weeks. Again, as we go through this, what would it look like in your life if you were on the road to being a disciple maker? My hope is that you will get this picture and you'll make the necessary adjustments to get there and to stay there. So we'll not this morning, as you already picked up on this, I know, but we'll not be looking at the scriptural and historical facts of the resurrection. Be a full, worthwhile thing to do. We go through those things fairly regularly and often through the Firm Foundation. So I know a lot of you are in that, but if you haven't gone through it yet, please do. So we'll be more touching on the spiritual impact of the resurrection. So, resurrection power, part C on your outline. And we're going to do a little bit of background work first. So let's go to Romans chapter 6. Go with me. And again, this is not exactly new information for us, but it's still, we'll go back briefly to the foundation to just a little bit of background work before we get into more detail here about resurrection power. And we've used this chapter so often, almost every Easter, it seems like we go to this. This is one of my favorite chapters in the Bible, not because it's some kind of like a Psalms where it's inspiring and brings up, but it's just, this tells you what's going on in your life and what needs to go on in your life. It is the nuts and bolts of the Christian life right here. So, and of course, it is focused around the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. So, chapter 6, let's go down to verse 3. Or don't you know? Paul's just talking here in the previous. He said, people have been accusing him. Every time you talk about it's faith alone, in Christ alone, by grace alone, you talk about those things to people, and they're going to say, oh, you're the guys that think you can just live any way you want to. And Paul rolls his eyes and says, I've heard this so many times. That's not what it's about. And so he goes on to defend that that's not what it's about. So we'll pick up with verse 3. Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus, I know most of you know this, but if you haven't been among us, baptized is really not, it's not really truly an English word. It's transliterated Greek word. It's just a Greek word with English spelling. And so that word baptized in the Greek, we've gone over this so many times, but it's like if you were to take some white lamb's wool and there's a pot of dye and you take that white lamb's wool and you dip it in to this red dye. You dip it in there and you pull it out. Oh, it's a new color. It's now identified with the color red. That's what it is. And so it's been baptized. It's been identified. And at the heart of the word, that's what it means, is to be identified. So if we have been, that's critical to understanding this passage. So that's why we always go back to that. This is not talking about water baptism. Water baptism is a picture of this. It's a picture of what happens here. But what this is talking about is the real thing of what happens, of what water baptism represents. So don't think water baptism when you read this baptized. So don't you know that all of us were baptized or identified into Christ Jesus? We're baptized, identified into His death. So when you accepted Jesus, His death on the cross, He was a substitute. He died in your place. It was as if you were on that cross dying. You were identified into his death. You got the benefit of His death. You weren't there. He did it for you. You're identified with His death. We were therefore buried with Him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. We were also identified with His resurrection so that we can live a new life. And what does that mean? To live a new life. What does that mean? This is getting to the heart of resurrection power. Now we'll go to some other verses in Galatians that describe this a little more. But Does it just mean Christ-likeness in character? That tends to be what I think about when I read that, to live a new life, that you live like Jesus, that you love like Jesus, you have the joy of Christ, the peace of Christ. All of that is true, to live a new life. But it also, could it mean Christ-like in purpose and in cause? If you have died and Christ lives His life in you, which is what happens, you're identified with His life now, then not only do you have new character, which you certainly have, but you also have a new cause and a new purpose. You are Christ-like in your purpose, in your core purpose. You've been identified with His life. If we have been, verse 5, if you've been united with Him like this in His death, we will certainly also be united with Him in His resurrection. That is not just talking about the resurrection in the future. That's we are identified with His resurrected life now. We have eternal life now. We have resurrection power in our life now by faith. For we know that our old self was crucified with Him, the flesh, the old nature. So that stuff, that independence, that going your own way, living your own, that has no power over it. You can say no to that because you've identified now with the life of Christ. So that's how you say no to sin. You say, oh, but I feel like it. I'm giving in. I know I'm... Well, you can say no because you, as we're going to learn in a minute, you reckon it to be true that you have resurrection life. You have a new power to say no to sin by faith. You've been identified with the life of Christ. All this is foundational to where we're headed. Because anyone who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe we will also live with Him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, He cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over Him. Death no longer has mastery over you. As the verse that was read already this morning, oh, death, where is your sting? Death has no mastery over us. Sin has no mastery over us because we have resurrection life. The death He died to sin once for all. But the life He lives to God. In the same way, here's a key verse, in the same way, count yourselves, reckon it to be true, that you are dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. That is resurrection power. You need no special gifts to live a Christ-like life. You need no special gifts to share, to be on mission for Jesus. Because you have resurrection power. You can be used to the fullest extent. But you must believe that. You must apply faith to it. You must reckon it to be true. So, let's go on to another verse. Galatians 2:20. That summarizes what we just read. This is foundational to you being on mission for God. These things are not just your knowledge. You need to know those things. But the foundation I'm talking about is that you live in it. 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. That sounds like Romans 6, doesn't it? I've been crucified with Christ. I've been identified with that death on the cross. And I no longer live death on the cross. But Christ lives in me. Resurrection power. Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And again, I think many people take this to mean to make me happy and to help me not sin and to give me peace and joy. I think if that's all the further you go with it, you are missing out on the real Christian life that we are called to and the intimacy and the joy of the Christian life. If you are not growing and truly laying down your life, dying to your own cause and purpose and living for the cause and the purpose of God, both the surrendering of your will and really living your life for the cause of Christ in others. And this was mentioned this morning as we got together. Carlton mentioned this morning when we were praying. Jesus, the disciple maker, living His life through us. I don't know how I can make this any clearer. If you are not on the road to being a disciple maker, is Jesus living His life through you? I don't see how that's possible. Was Jesus a disciple maker? Was that at the heart of what He was doing? That was the mission that He was on. If we are not on that same mission, then I don't see how Jesus is living His life through us. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. What does that mean? And what does it look like? I want to challenge your thinking that it means more than just your character. It means your whole life, your purpose, what you do. It means living like Jesus. We are promised His presence. We're promised His power. And most Christians would say they would like to have that. But how many are taking action to live like Jesus lived, to make disciples? Has God called you to be something? A computer programmer? A doctor? Well, you know, if God's called you to something like that, then you better make a plan. Is that going to just happen? Oh, you're going to wake up one morning, I'm a doctor. You better make a plan. You know, you better apply to some schools, get ready to live on ramen noodles for a little while. You know, you better just make a plan and take some action. It's funny though, you know. God has called you to be a disciple maker. Have you thought about making a plan and taking some action on being a disciple maker? Oh no, I'm just faithfully waiting for them to come. I'm faithfully waiting for those schools to accept me and to get me in there and to do my homework and to study. That doesn't happen in life. And I don't think it happens on the spiritual realm either. It's not you just faithfully waiting. I was talking to Ken's dad out there in the parking lot one time, and he told me that, you know, he was talking about, the, you know, we call the verbancours the verbs. He said, yeah, verb, man of action. And I just, I don't know why I always remember that. I thought it was funny, but verb, the love is a verb, right? Am I correct about that? Somebody, you guys correct me on that. Verb is an action word. This is not, if you are planning to do, if God's called you, you know, it's debatable if God's called you to be, what? There's a lot of computer programmers, a lot of you guys. If God's called you to do that, or God's called you to be a doctor, you know what? That's debatable. Really, it's subjective. It's subjective. We could argue about that. Has He really called you that? Maybe He's called you something else. Show me a scripture where He's called you to be a computer programmer. Show me a scripture where He's called you to be a... Show me. Well, let's argue about you being a disciple maker, because I am ready to make my point. God has called you to be a disciple maker. I don't think there's any argument. Are you moving? Are you making a plan? Are you taking action? It's all about the love of Christ and others. That means you need to take some action. And we're not just going to throw that out there and just, we've been going step, but we've been giving you some ways to do that, some ways to take action. You must take on His purpose in the world. But first, you must live the life of Jesus. And you must have resurrection power. And if you want that, you must die. There's no resurrection without dying. There's no resurrection power without dying. So, some of you are sitting here going, I don't really understand what you're saying. I hope you gradually will. But to die means that you have been identified with Jesus' death on the cross. And it means that you daily die to self. That means you choose Jesus over self. That's dying to self. You choose His way, His purpose, His calls over your way, your purpose, your calls. That's dying to self. Take up your cross and follow me. Let's go to Ephesians 1:16. And you may say, and I'm with you on this, I just don't have the gifts to do what you're talking about. I don't have the talent. I don't have the personality. I don't have the outgoingness. I can't really do what you're calling me and asking me to do. I don't have the experience. But let me read you this verse. And I love this verse. I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know Him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which He has called you, of His glorious inheritance in the saints, His incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of His mighty strength, which He exerted in Christ when He raised Him from the dead. That power working in you. That resurrection life. That having a new life. By faith, you have the power to do what God has called you to do. That is a reassurance to me that I have resurrection power by faith. I have to believe that I've been identified with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Have you failed in this? Well, I certainly have. I have failed in this many times. Then if you failed in this, the resurrection is for you. The resurrection is for you. Because He gives you the power. And there is forgiveness there too. If your failure brings you to your knees at the cross and not to excuses or depression or discouragement, that the resurrection is for you. If your failure brings you to your knees, not to excuses, depression, or discouragement, the resurrection power is for you by faith. With this in mind, we're going to look a little more at the pattern in just a minute, the pattern of disciple makers, knowing that that pattern and following through does not come from you. Jesus is the disciple maker. You're just the vessel. You're the instrument. He's the disciple maker. The fullness of the Christ life carries with it the desire and obedience of disciple making. The fullness of the Christ life, it carries with it the desire to make disciples and following through. How could we be dead and Christ live in us if I do not have this unity with God and the concern for the whole world? And the verse that Caleb said this morning, John 3:16, for God loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He's on mission there. If I'm in step with the Holy Spirit of God and I'm living the resurrection life, yet I do not have the love for the world, love for the lost, a passion to go and make disciples, then I don't think, the truth is, I'm not in step with the Spirit if I don't have that kind of desire. More and more, I see this correlation between intimacy with Christ, with joyous living, with having the same love for others that Christ had, and being on this mission, on Jesus' mission. More and more I see that intimacy and the things I want, the relationship I want with God and the resurrection power, I see this correlation with being on mission. What did, you know, Jesus summed up? He summed up the whole Bible, basically. The two commandments, you know those. Let's go to Matthew 22:37. Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and prophets hang on these two commandments. This love, I believe it includes taking action, not just an emotional feeling. And you know, it's not the labor of sharing the gospel in your life that gives you the continuous joy that we are talking about, but rather because you are dead and you are living the resurrection life and you are in deep fellowship with Him. That is what gives you the joy. And the result is you love God and you love your neighbor. And when you are in step with the Spirit, there is nothing else worth spending your life on than this. When you're in step with the Spirit, there's nothing else that draws you like this, and there's nothing else worth spending your life on, because the Son of God Himself spent His life on this while He was on this earth, doing the very same thing. Do you see the connection? There is a connection. I want more of this. I really do. That's what I was dealing with last night. I want more of this. And I'm not saying there's not a struggle with the flesh here of trying to hang on to my own time and my own desires and those things. But I've tasted of the joy. And yes, there is sorrow, as Jesus was a man of sorrows, but He promised we would share in His joy. Are you pursuing God in this manner? This is what He's called us to. Then eventually, if this is true about you and about me, you know, eventually we'll know it by your fruit. John 15:8. There are many other verses we could go to for this, but this is the one that we've spent more time in recently, so we know the context of it already. This is my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. You know, I know there's also fake fruit, and we need to be alert to that in ourselves. But as we follow through with this big picture of this surrender, of this taking on mission, of loving God first, loving our neighbor, of investing our life in others, the developing partners, then we'll show ourselves to be His disciples by the fruit in our life. So, again, are you taking action on this? Not necessarily are you in the act of making disciples. Are you moving towards that? And, you know, if this is true, it don't just be all this spiritual talk. Think concretely. How am I doing that? Don't fool yourself in this arena. How am I doing that? What am I doing? What physical location is this happening in? Who are the people? What are their names? What are their needs? Are they really my friends? Do you see what I'm saying? Don't fool yourself in this arena. And this is not to beat you up. Hopefully the Holy Spirit will take over here if I'm beating you up. And you know what I just talked about. How He corrects you and He encourages you. That's what we're looking for. So, loving others, part of the two great commandments, right? Loving God, loving others. It's not mainly about what you say or even what you feel, is it? Loving others, it's action. If there's an unfaithful husband, and he says, an unfaithful husband can do this. He says all the right things, and he even feels love. Yet he's still an unfaithful husband. Is he loving his wife? No. You say you love God. You say you love your neighbor. Concrete. Action. Names. Places. Events. Are you taking action? Are you loving God? Are you loving your neighbors? For all the scripture is boiled down right here. As is disciple making. So, we can talk about loving the body, loving the lost, but what action are we taking? These are the patterns we've been talking about. So, we're going to give you some action that you can take. That's what we're talking about. Start praying. That was one of the things, right? Take small initiatives. Start praying. Follow through. Don't just get guilty. Don't let that happen to you. That's not my intention. That's not God's intention. The intention is to get you on mission. Get you on mission. Oh, yeah, sometimes there's repenting that needs to be done. Well, yeah, I would, you know, maybe 100% of the time there's repenting that needs to be done. But do that. Go ahead. We all have to repent. We all get adjustments. So don't feel like you're alone. But make the adjustments that He's called. Or we'll never be a disciple-making church that God has called us to be. Love is an action word. And it only comes from one place. It only comes from one place. Being identified with the resurrection power, with the life of Jesus. With the life of Jesus being lived in us. And having the same love for the Father that Jesus had, and the same God dependence and surrender. And you might say, I'm brand new at this. Now some of you are saying that, and you're really not brand new at it. You've been at this for quite a while. But some may legitimately say, I'm brand new at this. You're expecting a lot from me. I do. Because you're no longer you. And you just hadn't realized it yet. But you're no longer you. You're dead. And Christ is living in you. Jesus sent out the 70 when it was really new stuff to them. But here's some practical advice. Attach yourself to someone who does invest their life in others. For real. For real. Somebody that really invests their life in others. Attach yourself to them. Follow them around. See what they do and how they do it. Someone who loves God supremely and loves their neighbor too. Because the two go hand in hand. Then find out how it's done. If a person that lives like that, they'll welcome you. Isn't that strange? They may already be busy. But they'll welcome you if you come with that heart. They will be more than happy to have you along. But follow the ones that are doing it out of love, not duty or self-discipline, but out of the love that Jesus has given them. So, quick review of what we just covered. Step one, die. Die, the cross. You know, I know there is a first cross experience, the first resurrection experience, but there's also a daily dying to self. And there are also memorable points along the way of God directing you and guiding you. This could be one of those. Step two, resurrection power. Step three, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your strength, with all your mind, with all your soul, with everything you are. Step four, love your neighbor as yourself. And every step, you've got to be clipped in to faith. Every step is by faith. It's believing it, being identified with those. So, I've already shared with you, this is on me. This has been on me. I want more. I want more of this. You know, practically speaking, there's some things I want to do different. I want to go to bed earlier so I can get up earlier. I keep thinking I'm young, you know. I keep thinking I can still get on and 4 or 5 hours of sleep a night. I keep trying to do that. But I need to get to bed earlier. And I need to be up earlier so I can have more extended times in prayer. That's something that I need to do. I want to do away with some things and streamline life for a little more effectiveness for His purposes. And I'm busy, but I want to add some things that I think may be productive in relationships. I want to be a better partner and co-laborer, and I want to be a better leader in my family. I want to set a better example for them. Even though all these things take action, love takes action, they're really by faith. Resting in Him. Resting in Him. That really is what resurrection power is about. It's resting. Take a deep breath. It's resting in Him. It's peace. It is. He does it. The next pattern of gospel sharing. Are y'all still with me? The next pattern of gospel sharing. We're not going to try to complete this today, but I want to introduce it. The next gospel pattern, the next pattern of gospel sharing. This sounds Southern. Gospel sharing, resurrection life. You ever seen the name of a Southern church, you know? The Church of Jesus Christ of, you know, the Episcopal African Baptist Methodist. Man, so, Lutheran. Thank you. You know, I should never start doing that. I'll leave somebody out, right? So, this is the gospel sharing resurrection life. Serving others in resurrection power. Serving others in resurrection power. So I'll warn you about something here. You know, you guys are, most of you guys are already doing a lot of this. You're doing this thing of serving others. I see it in you. And it's so encouraging. But let me warn you to not let your obedience in that area blind you. Because I see it over and over in this body of guys, you serving others. But don't let that blind you, because the next steps that follow service may be a little tougher for you. Because service, at least in some point, should deeper relationships should follow. Deeper relationships should follow. There's some other tough steps that follow. So just because you're being obedient in some of these things, there's another step for you to take. So don't let your own obedience blind you to what needs to happen. As a core part of our mission, we are to serve others out of a motive of love. In fact, it's a love that must serve. Paul said, the love of Christ compels me. I must serve. I'm aware of the needs of others, and I want to meet them. For God so loved the world that He gave. There's this idea of service, and it's within the context of a mission. Jesus said, as we looked earlier, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. There are huge implications in that, of taking action. And in Luke 10:27, He repeats that same thing that we read in Matthew earlier. And He says it again, and then He follows it up with an example. You know what the example is? It's the story of the Good Samaritan. It's meeting a real need. And you notice the Good Samaritan did not, after he got him and got him situated in his room, and he sat down and he said, let me share the gospel with you now. You know, he just served him. He did. Trust me, the gospel needs to be shared. But there was a different flavor to it. He did it out of love. He just did it. No, whatever the guy's response, he still did it. He still served him. Now, there are some steps that follow that. But it is one of our patterns of a disciple maker. It's a pattern of serving out of love. Serving and loving others as yourself. What if we really, in the power of the resurrection, lived like we've been discussing, doing these things? Do you think people will be drawn to Christ and eternal life? You know what? I've got quite a few more notes here, but I'm feeling like I'm done. So I need to stop when I'm done. You know, Carlton and I, we used to have this agreement when we prayed together. He said, when we get through praying, let's just stop praying. You know, don't just keep making words. So I feel like I'm making words. So I'm going to stop. But there is a message there. There's a message there for us. And take action on what you've already heard. Because there's some more details coming. Where God has dealt with you, please, I entreat you, respond to the Holy Spirit. We need to be, we must be a disciple-making church. That means you must be a disciple-making believer.